Hi, everybody, and welcome to Different Leaf, a show for new and experienced cannabis consumers. I'm Britt Smith. Whether or not you call it a New Year's resolution, many of us use this time of year to change our old habits and form new, healthier ones. You might want to eat differently this year, or maybe you want to read more, in which case, treat yourself to Different Leaf the magazine at differentleaf.com. And a lot of people, like me, choose to try and be more active. But sticking to these resolutions isn't always easy. This episode, we're going to talk about how cannabis can enhance physical activity to help us find more joy in regular exercise. Our guest today is Colorado-based journalist and marathon runner Josiah Hesse. In his latest book, Runner's High, Josiah delves into just how prevalent cannabis consumption is in the world of athletes, how he learned to incorporate marijuana into his training and wellness routine so he could actually enjoy his runs, and how even the least sporty among us can benefit from the high humans get from both weed and working out.
How long have you been a runner?
Close to 10 years now.
What was it that got you started?
So when I first got started, it was mostly for mental health reasons, anxiety, depression, insomnia, which have been with me most of my life. And I'd never been an athletic person by any stretch, never participated in sports, was terrible in gym class, never enjoyed it for a moment, and didn't enjoy it when I first started. And then it was trying it with edibles that was a game changer for me. I was familiar with that Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary from the 70s, Pumping Iron. Mm-hmm. And toward the end of it, they all smoke a joint together. And I'd been using cannabis for a long time by that point, and it had a lot of beneficial effects on my life. But edibles, specifically getting edibles that have measurable dose of THC in them, you know, a lot of black market edibles are just kind of a wild west, even for the people who create them. They don't know exactly how much THC is in each dose. But for me, it changed how exercise felt, particularly running. There was a meditative, playful quality to it. It wasn't anything I was doing to get anywhere. It wasn't a discipline that I needed to endure to get to some end. It was an end unto itself. And from there, I just started running all the time, started entering races, met other runners, was introduced to the sports world in general, which, like I said, I had no exposure to even as a journalist. I covered a lot of topics as a journalist, but sports was never in my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And so I started being more and more immersed in that world. And that's when I started learning how prevalent cannabis use was.
You go into this in the book about your first experience when you found a rapper at one of the marathons that you were doing in Denver. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of hit you like, oh, folks here might be high. what was that experience like for you when you went back to the crowd and looked around you?
It did change the preconceptions I had of sports people, of fitness enthusiasts, which was very negative for the most part. I had this stereotype in my head that they were all very conservative, very uptight, very competitive, very dominant. And noticing that some people around me may be high in that moment and knowing that I was enjoying running on cannabis so much, that enjoyment was very different than how I viewed exercise in general. Like I viewed it as something that people did begrudgingly, and knowing that it wasn't the case for me, I thought, well, maybe other people are exercising with the same sort of mentality that I did, which was, a somewhat stoned mentality, but also just one that enjoys the act for its own sake and not one that is doing it to like show off on social media or to, you know, beat someone else to be dominant, that it was just its own reward. Stereotypes about the type of people who use cannabis are changing quite a bit, as did mine change through the course of meeting so many athletes who were using cannabis.
Is it that prevalent in all professional sports? And has it always been something that professional athletes use?
Well, I talked to a lot of people for this book, and pretty much everyone I spoke with confirmed that it was at least a majority of athletes in professional sports that were using cannabis. Whether this was, I imagine to some degree that the volume of athletes who are pro athletes who are using cannabis is a modern phenomenon that is somewhat impacted by legalization and access to cannabis and changing attitudes towards the plant itself and the people who use it. But at the same time, it has been going on for a very long time. There was a guy called Dave Meggiesi, who was a NFL sports star in the 70s, who had this organization called Jocks for Joints. And they challenged an anti-marijuana group to a friendly game of softball and said, like, hey, we'll play high. You guys play sober and we'll see how everyone does. And the group declined. But Dave Meggiesi was always doing things like that to kind of put this issue at the forefront, not just legalization or access, but that like athletes were using this in a way that benefited their performance. And there's also research going back hundreds of years showing laborers using cannabis as a way to ward off fatigue, but then also boredom of working in the fields or working as a fisherman, whatever it is. Like if you're doing that for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, it gets pretty boring, and a little hit off a joint or a tincture or something can help relieve some of the monotony of labor.
And that's something that you discuss in the book as well, as a runner yourself and your experience being able to run high. It sort of enhances the monotonous movement of the run for you. One of the most beautiful visual parts of the book that I liked was the image of all these heads bobbing in front of you as you're running stoned. I could just see it. I could imagine, like, it's sort of like an energy, and you feel like you're in sort of a real group of energetic movers moving throughout the trails. And it's like you also get to connect spiritually and connect with nature, and there's all these different aspects that suddenly come to you as you're running while stoned.
Yeah, it's an incredible sensation that completely trumps any thoughts of like weight loss, looking attractive, living longer, the mental health benefits. Like, yeah, all that's there, but in that moment you're like, this is just fun. And what you were describing with the marathons, at least the city marathons I've done, that is an extraordinary feeling of sort of communal energy with these thousands of people. And especially in the case of the Colfax Marathon, going down my favorite street in Denver, which has always been somewhat debaucherous and infamous for its chaos. It was just a blast to run down there with thousands of people in front of me and behind me, really stoned, listening to, I think, Led Zeppelin and The Replacements. But on the trails, you know, you don't get that same crowd with the trails, but you do get very much into your own head. And I think cannabis facilitates that process. It's very meditative. You know, you mentioned the rhythmic aspects of running. You do get kind of lost in the rhythm of your steps and the rhythm of your breathing. And you know, for ultra running, this goes on for hours, sometimes days. So you really get lost in a sort of hypnotic state that is very comparable to a psychedelic state. You know, whether you're taking cannabis or not, like after so many hours of running, you do go a little bit mad, and it can be a euphoric, pleasurable madness, or it can be a very menacing one. But cannabis definitely fits like a hand in glove with that experience, connecting with nature, listening to music, which is something I don't do on the trails, but I do a lot in the city and when I run in the parks.
What is it that you learned about how cannabis helps athletes? Because there was a lot of discussion in your book about the endocannabinoid system and how it sort of mimics the natural runner's high that our body just gives us anyway. Did we evolve to have a runner's high? Did that somehow help humans?
Absolutely. There's a very popular book in 2003 called Born to Run that looked at the evolutionary role in making humans great distance runners, because we're not the fastest animals in the animal kingdom, but we are the best at endurance running. And evolutionary anthropologists believe that this was a something that helped us hunt down antelopes over long periods of time, especially when it's really hot, that you're not chasing them down, you know, you're just wearing them down over hours or days. And that made us great long distance runners. But what fascinated me was research showing that the runner's high, this thing that people have been talking about, you know, since maybe the 60s or the 70s, that is often misattributed to endorphins, but it's a feeling of an uptick in joy, a reduction in pain, feeling more present and in the moment, connection with nature, connection with your own body, something that runners beyond cannabis have been talking about for a long time. Well, there are these evolutionary anthropologists that believe that this was something that was sort of gifted to us by evolution to overcome the exhaustion of hunting down those antelopes over a long time and overcoming the physical discomfort of swollen joints and the inflammation. So we have this endogenous cannabinoid system that impacts all manner of behavior in the body. But specifically, there's an endogenous cannabinoid called anandamide, and it was named after the Sanskrit word for bliss, that is released after about 30 minutes of cardio running at around 70% heart rate. So not a sprint, but also not a walk, just like a steady trot for about 30 minutes. And this research shows that it anandamide mimics the impact of THC on the brain and body. So you have this reduction in pain and this uplift in mood that mimics THC. And it was also later discovered that THC induces the flow of anandamide, induces the release of anandamide. Wow. And data shows that Americans don't really care for exercising a whole lot. I'm sure I'm not like blowing anyone's mind with that piece of breaking news.
Yeah,
I think something like 5% of Americans exercise every day, maybe like 14% get a sufficient amount of exercise.
Wow. Each week. Oh, that's worse than I thought it was.
Right. It's very low. And, you know, we all have this evolutionary reward system that gives us a boost of pleasure when we consume salt, fat, and sugar, when we have an orgasm, when we sleep, when we learn something exciting, something that induces us to repeat that behavior and has sort of fueled our survival as a species. Well, exercise should exist in that category. We have this pleasurable effect from exercise, but obviously so many Americans aren't feeling that. And there's a variety of reasons for that. I think one of the biggest ones are psychological. People don't feel good about their bodies. They're not terribly connected to their bodies, the mind-body connection. And they're stressed out. They're eating bad food. All these things are sort of crippling the system of pleasure that we should receive with exercise. And we have, you know, throughout our species existence, but we aren't at the moment. And I think cannabis can be a key to unlocking that system because it can induce the release of anandamide quicker and sort of facilitate the natural joy that people should be feeling with about 30 minutes of cardio. People are experiencing that. They have been for a long time. This is very popular. So I'm not really like introducing anything revolutionary so much as reporting on something that's already there.
I know, obviously, that working out is not everybody's cup of tea, but we've been told since we were little kids, like, you've got to get moving. It's really healthy to be outside. And I feel like as I went through my teenage years and my 20s, I was just not into athletics. I was not into sports. I didn't want to run. It sounded like a slog. It sounded boring and exhausting. And my shin splints kicked in within like 2 minutes. And it just isn't something that I like grew up loving. And I think that as we get into sort of our party phase of life, a lot of us replace what we would have been feeling with all of those natural cannabinoids in our body with things like, well, for me anyway, with alcohol and with drugs and with dancing all night at clubs. And, you know, there's different ways, I guess, that we get our pleasure.
You know, you mentioned dancing, and this is something I talk about in the book. Like, I grew up in a sort of Pentecostal Christian world, which did a lot of freaky shit in the services, but a lot of it was very physical. I loved the physical aspects of it. And then in my 20s, when I moved out of Iowa and into Denver, I started dancing a lot at night and would dance for hours in a very intense Iggy Pop like way. And that would activate my cardio system and presumably my endocannabinoid system. And I was also smoking joints in the alley outside the dance club. So I was, what I'm experiencing now with running high and listening to music is really just sort of re-experiencing the Pentecostal church or the dance club right. in my 20s. And I just never really thought of those things as exercise. And I think it's the authority aspect of exercise that is one of the biggest reasons that people don't do it. They're shamed into doing it. They're told that they're fat, they're ugly, they're going to die. You know, their doctor's getting after them, their spouse is getting after them. Don't you want to see your grandchildren? How can you be so selfish? You know, it's all this like negative chatter, negative energy coming at people in relation to exercise. Also, like since you, as you mentioned, since they were children, they've been told this. And, you know, I think children who are really young, maybe like before 7 or so, they often don't need to be told to exercise because they just know it as play. They just know it as a big field, other kids, play a game, let's climb on stuff, you know, let's scream, let's push our bodies as hard as they can until we get dizzy. Like, these are things that they just intrinsically know to do. And I think as you get older and the authority angle of exercise sets in school, and then with parents as well. And then later on, like I said, with a doctor or a spouse or just society in general, like there's nowhere in all of that chatter to just enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of blessed, I guess, in that nobody really was paying attention or nobody really cared about whether or not I was running. So like when I went out and did it, it was just like, oh, this is interesting. This turned out to be fun. I didn't have anyone else being like, way to go, you know, or good for you, or or like, you know, are you doing that enough? You were doing it this much last week. Are you doing it enough this week?
Right. I find that sometimes tracking all of those things really is a bit of a deterrent to me. I've never been a runner. I hate running, but I love to swim. I was actually a swim teacher in my 20s out in California. And if a student didn't show up for a swim class, I would just spend those 30 minutes swimming. And I loved it. And I would do that multiple times a day. And it's because nobody told me to do it and nobody was getting onto me that I think I really enjoyed just the rhythm of listening to my breath in the water.
Yeah.
You know, moving the same way every single time and trying to sort of watch my body and see if I could get myself to turn in the same way. And it was like watching my body mechanics. It was super meditative. And I also swam in one of those infinity pools that has like a jet that pushes at you. And there was actually a mirror on the bottom of the floor so that we could analyze people's strokes properly. And it was so relaxing to just swim and watch yourself. If I could do that high, man, I could do that all day. Like, I really feel like I could do that all day long. What is it that you use? Do you use edibles? Do you use vapes? When you're training, when you're running, how do you use cannabis and you're running right now?
For me, I like to make my own edibles. I've got this little decarboxylator, which is kind of like a tiny oven that has its own sensors that, you know, measure how long the cannabis should be cooked at what temperature. And then I take that and I put it in a coffee grinder, grind up the cannabis real fine, and then mix it in with these edibles that I make that are made of cashews, cinnamon, coconut, dates, coconut oil, butter, you know, really fatty stuff to activate the cannabis.
That helps it bind in you as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. You have to have fat or alcohol in your system for the cannabis to be activated. And yeah, I take 10 to 20 milligrams. That's a nice little window for me where I don't get that intoxicated and I just feel a sort of gentle groove with the cannabis. I find that after a certain point, a biphasic effect sets in, which is like the opposite of what you're going for on the small end of the spectrum. Suddenly on the other end of the bell curve, you got like anxiety and lethargy and paranoia and lack of coordination. And sometimes that's great if you want to just like watch a movie or fall asleep or whatever. But I find that with exercise, you do need a certain moderate amount, and that differs from person to person. Everyone's endocannabinoid system is different, and it doesn't always have to do with tolerance. Like, I've been taking the same amount of cannabis on my runs for about 10 years. So it's not like I'm increasing my dosage each month to try and get through something or to have the same effect that I had, you know, a year earlier. I'll take more if I'm running longer. You know, I did a 50K in April, and that was about 8 hours of running.
You said 50K?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. So taking an edible right at the beginning of that would really see you through the whole time.
No, it was 8 hours of running. So I took, I don't recall, it was somewhere, you know, between like 60 and 90. Over the course of those 8 hours, I would take 10 milligram edibles every hour, 90 minutes or so.
And how do you figure out how to dose yourself like that? Is it just trial and error?
It was for me. And I encourage anyone else on that journey to, you know, take a modest dose, especially the first few times. Yeah. And I have had plenty of experiences of taking too much and not having a desired effect, or taking CBD too early. And that's something like any endurance runner, you know, has their whole system when it comes to when to eat protein, when to eat carbs, you know, when to take your gel packet, when to take your salt tab, you know, how much water to get. And it gets very, very complex, which is the other reason you don't want to get too high. You know, if you've been running 200, 300 mile races through the mountains over several days, you know, you don't want to forget anything at one aid station and then have another 10, 12 hours to run to the next aid station.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And what about munchies? Do you, I know this is a weird question, but do you get hungry while you're running? Because whenever I have cannabis, I like within an hour, I need to eat a ton. I get just starving hungry.
I do. That changed a little bit with heart rate training. I had a running coach who helped me run that last race, and he gave me a whole, it was a very complex training regimen, but a lot of it was around my heart rate and keeping my heart rate low. And so then I was burning fat and not sugar. And so I wasn't getting quite as depleted, because the first few years, I don't know, probably the first 6 years or so, when I would run high, never pay attention to my heart rate. And I would just burn going out there. And then when I come home, I would just be inconsolably hungry. Like, I would just tear that kitchen apart like a monster in a horror movie, and couldn't get full. Because, you know, I've been running for a couple hours and taking edibles. And so, right, like, the hunger was just extraordinary. That's something that you just kind of get used to with endurance running. You're always hungry. You wake up in the middle of the night hungry. You're just burning so many calories. Your body's just constantly screaming for more food.
Yeah, I bet it is. That's so crazy. What about CBD? Do you tend to use that, you said, for recovery after like a long run? Do you use it right afterwards? Do you use it the next day?
Yeah, both. I tend to not use it early in the run because it makes me a little sleepy, or not use too much of it. It's good for the anti-inflammatory effects. If you've been training really hard, or you've got a really long run, or any kind of exercise, really, it helps with the inflammation in my knees and in my ankles. CBD is incredibly popular with athletes for a variety of reasons, and it's being used in a lot of different ways.
What about the conversation around vaping and smoking weed? Because I know that for athletes, you know, your lung health is a big issue, and so a lot of folks tend to move towards the edibles or the tinctures. But you said that you would often see folks vaping along the way. Is that very common?
It's very common. You can hide a pen vaporizer quite easily and consume it very discreetly, which is important because this is still a banned substance. And even though ultra running has been kind of more of a DIY sport compared to, you know, football, basketball, or the Olympics, there's more and more drug testing happening. People do need to be more careful about it. But yeah, a lot of vaping, a lot of smoking, which I don't usually do when running or before a run. I find that edibles are very preferable. They give me that sort of light feeling in my body, and it's a bit of a body high that makes the run so much more pleasurable. But yeah, across the board, I've even known people that will do dabs at the trailhead. Which would be way too much THC for me. I like dabs every now and again, but that's gonna knock me on my ass. But there's this guy who started the 420 Games, this cannabis-centric athletic event. He took, I think it was 150 milligram THC edible and swam from San Francisco to Alcatraz.
I saw that in your book. That just blew my mind.
Yeah, that'd be impressive for any athlete to accomplish, but with that much cannabis in your system, I mean, 150 would just knock me out. But everyone's different. There's no shame with that. It's not like alcohol or pills.
So how do you think more people can just incorporate cannabis into their lives to get them moving more often for the general health and wellness of folks? Because like you said, sports and health and wellness, it's not huge in America.
Yeah, and I think people have this idea that exercise means gyms or sports. So you either need to be like out on a track, you know, or on a football field or in a gym lifting weights. And it's just not true. You don't even need to spend money, really. I think the best exercise, especially for people who are new to it, is walking. If you've used cannabis a couple of times already and are comfortable with it, then, you know, you can incorporate into your exercise. I often say people don't try new things stoned and don't try mixing cannabis and exercise for the first time. You know, try them both separately a couple of times before you integrate them, and do it with a modest dose. I can't stress that enough. If you've got access to edibles, that's the way I recommend, and start with like 2 to 5 milligrams of THC and just do it at your house. Turn off your phone, make sure you don't have any responsibilities, and get comfortable with the experience. And then, you know, go out walking or go on YouTube and look for some yoga videos, some stretching videos, and type in for beginners if that's the case for you. There's a lot of small things you can do throughout the day or just once a day that you can incorporate cannabis with that will give your heart a little bit of a challenge, give your muscles a little bit of a challenge, get some blood flowing through you. And that's really all you need. You don't need to, you know, even run really. I mean, you could work your way up to that with like a more fast, brisk walks. And if you've got access to nature anywhere around you, I highly recommend that to people for the mental health benefits as well as the physical health benefits. If you're brand new to this, there are paved trails out there that you could do a half a mile, very moderate paced walk through. But then if people want to challenge themselves, like it's a lot of fun to do really intense exercise. I love sprinting. When I'm high, I love doing really intense things, lifting weights. You know, you can take it to some extreme level if you want to, if that's what's inside of you. But I think that's probably the best guidepost is what's inside of you. You know, if you don't feel like doing something really crazy, just move your arms a little bit, move your legs a little bit, you know, but find what's already inside of you and forget everyone else, everything else. Forget about social media, forget about Strava, forget about your, you know, watches. I mean, you can get into that stuff in time, but I agree with you. I think that stuff is a detriment, and people should just go inward, focus on your body, focus on your breath, feel what's going on inside of you and let that be your guide.
That's some great advice. Thank you so much, Josiah, for joining us to talk about your book. Runner's High is out now. There's some really, really great stories in this book about PTSD and running in nature high, and a man that runs with goats. And this is a great book. You definitely do well to get this one for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us, Josiah.
Thanks so much for having me, Britt. It's been fun.
Thanks to our guest this week, Josiah Hesse. Make sure that you check out his book, Runner's High, How a Movement of Cannabis-Fueled Athletes is Changing the Science of Sports. Head on over to differentleaf.com where you can find all the issues of our gorgeous cannabis magazine, and you can also find Different Leaf on the shelves at your local Barnes & Noble bookstore. Make sure you're following us on social media at Different Leaf or at different_leaf. I'm on social media at Brit the British. Thanks to Homebody for the music.